All right, now you're just fucking with me.
Yep. yep. You know
what?
You know,
Pavlov.
I'm doing the whole "how long will weird be quiet" thing.
You know, Alan, this is gonna be like the new intro to the show. Is not a hello internet or a bumper music, but literally just like moments of silence and then weird agony on the please. Somebody say something.
We've done yet.
Works for me.
I don't know if our audience understands what's going on.
Alan, we'll learn them.
Tell them, Alan.
Well, okay, because we use Skype, and Skype for some reason introduces a hiss. It's just a white, faint white noise hiss. And there's environmental noise, you know, Jay's got fans and going on, and cause he apparently does this in the basement. I think he's ashamed.
Like
he hides in the basement to do his podcast.
In my office.
Okay.
He's big time now. He has an office.
So
in the basement?
No, my office is not in the basement.
My office
is on the ground floor right as you walk in.
Oh, okay.
It has not one, not two, but three bookcases.
Ooh. Oh, my. Oh, my God.
Does it have actual?
Are they all gun-related books?
No, actually. It's mostly science fiction and fantasy because I'm a wicked nerd.
Is your copy of Audacity of Hope there?
I want pictures of the bookcases.
So anyway, the moment of silence is so I can get a recording of the baseline hiss so I can later remove it from with a noise reduction thing. So
thingy. Correct term is thingy.
Yeah, it's a noise reduction thingy in Audacity.
But Alan's made a big deal of the fact that he knows that me being quiet for this is absolute motherfucking torture.
Yes.
So he just doesn't say anything. He just waits till I fucking completely go nuts. And we're like, oh, we need to talk now.
It's so much fun.
Anyway. Oh, he's taking pictures.
Yes, I was told.
Oh, wow. Brita speaks and Jay obeys.
That just what came over on my phone.
I know better.
I better turn the volume down on my phone.
Who is this baby? It's the chat from last week. There's some baby in like a ancient car seat.
Because I was talking about car beds.
Yeah, that was the car seat from the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cars were all made out of like solid steel, so.
Yes.
Straight eight engines producing a whopping 130 horsepower.
There you go.
Man, it's really kind of amazing when you see like those like cars with the like gigantic engine that pass and you realize just how completely gutless they were.
Well, it's because they weighed 85 tons.
Alan and Jay, since you both are aware of cars and older than I am, like, were the classic muscle cars as fast as they say?
No.
Yeah.
Oh!
The good ones were.
Interesting.
If I had a 76 Hemi Cuda, and I put a Holley carburetor on it, something like that.
You're just saying words you've heard, aren't you?
I know nothing. I really know nothing about like classic engines. And also, when I got my first, like, bought my first brand new pickup truck, I went, all right, this is my car. Like, this is not a hand-me-down car. This is not some used piece of shit that I just picked up. This is mine. I've earned this. I have arrived. You know what? It's time, you know, after the first, like, the first, like, 3,000 miles, I'm like, all right, it's time to change the oil. And I walked over to my next door neighbor, and I'm like, you change your own oil. Can I borrow some tools from you? He said, sure, go right ahead. and I change the oil, I'll save out the complete like comedy of errors of the, you know, accidentally got the oil filter from the model year just before my truck, and they had evidently just completely revamped the engine, so it was an entirely different oil filter, and you know, this, that, another thing, burned myself on the exhaust manifold, got all oily and greasy and dirty, and said, all right, cool, I'm going to Prompto and spending the $30 to have my oil because that shit was not fucking worth it. I like cars. I like the idea of wrenching on cars, but as once I get under the hood and start getting grease under my fingernails, and I've got no problem with, like, I'm with Jay on the, yeah, yes, if you're somebody who doesn't like to clean your gun, ask me to take your gun to the range. You will get it back cleaner than you gave it to me, and I will enjoy every second of it. It's weird. I will clean a gun. Like, if there's a gun that I shot like three times and didn't like oil it and put it away, I'm going to be like, oh, you really were slacking. You should really take that gun out and clean it.
That's funny, because I never clean guns.
And you don't have to. I'm not saying I'm right. As a matter of fact, I'm saying I'm wrong.
I don't either.
Yeah, I never clean them.
Well,
it's because you someone else staff. Does it
you
for
have,
me.
You have, yeah. You have staff.
Yeah, Brita has help.
You have people.
But, you have the cats lick them clean.
Yeah, no, I don't clean them because there's no point. I mean, it's, you know, unless the only time I'll clean it is if I use corrosive primer ammo for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have
to. Do you ever like squirt that stuff down the barrel?
Oh, yeah. I lube it. Yeah. And
no,
you know,
not the lube, the lube. Cleaner stuff.
Well, what I do is every once in a while, if it gets gunked up, so it's such that it impairs function, I'll like take it apart and knock the crud off and, you know, spray a little cleaner crap on there, CLP or, you know, brake cleaner, whatever I got, and relube it and put it back together. So, you know.
Jay, do you clean your guns?
I do. What's that?
You take them apart and you put all the little pieces and you clean all the little pieces. And
well, I clean the guns I shoot, which are mainly striker fired. So I just pull them apart, hose the insides out, scrub the barrel and call it good.
You know that spray stuff, the spray cleaner, what is it called?
There's a whole
lots
bunch
of them.
A whole bunch
stuff,
of them.
The stuff that foams
that
up.
That shit is great. It's like, it's awesome. It's like vacuuming your coffee table instead of dusting.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Ah,
I am the motherfucking king of that shit. I got no time for dusting.
Thank you. Someone else.
Yeah, no, I do all of my quote unquote dusting with the wand on my vacuum.
Have you ever put the actual vacuum head like on a piece of furniture? Because that's the way to go.
I've absolutely done that too.
I do it on upholstered furniture.
Oh no, do it on hardwood.
I've done it on hardwood.
Heck yeah!
I've actually walked up a staircase and just vacuumed every step, like not even with the wand, just with
people
like the
oh yeah,
that?
I've done that.
Cleaning head.
That's how I do stairs with carpet on them. Is there any other way?
I don't know.
There are other ways.
Really? What?
I don't do them.
Probably.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, how do you vacuum a step if you don't put the vacuum cleaner
on? You're supposed to use a little wandy thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't do anything.
Or to be fair, it's not that much more work to just start at the top step and grab a dustpan and just slowly just back your way down the stairs and just sweep the steps.
If they're hardwood, yeah.
Is there any other kind? I'm looking at Bria's profile picture.
Yeah, that's true. She got rid of her carpet.
Do you have carpeted steps, Alan?
I have a one-story house. I don't have carpeted shit.
No, I have hardwood steps now.
Yeah. Yeah, carpeted steps are fucking bullshit.
Sometimes I sweep.
Yeah, I don't like
them. Sometimes I vacuum.
Either.
Depends.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Sometimes I sweep, sometimes I vacuum.
Yeah, if I ever buy a house, I will not have a stitch of carpet in it anywhere.
Wall, I mean, certainly wall to wall. Area rugs are great.
Well, that's
but
rugs.
Will it match,
that's not
will
carpet.
It match the drapes, Alan?
It will not match the drapes, I promise. Not one bit.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
Yeah, I don't know. God, we get off some weird tangents.
I know. Yeah.
How did we get here? Oh, Weird was asking about cars for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, But no, what I'm saying is, like, I will, I meticulously clean my, I mean, some, I understand that I'm wrong. So some nights I'll be, I'll come back from the range and I'll be like, eh, I'm tired. Really just kind of running a patch through this thing will be more than enough. But I'm not just like, I don't just toss a gun that I've put like 200 rounds through into the safe. You know, maybe if it was like, you know, 15 to 25 rounds, you know, just, I was just function testing something. Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily going to scrub it for that. I can look the other way, but it's going to bother me. It will bother me. But I have never washed my car. My car is 5 years old now, and it's never been washed.
I think that's a northern thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. I was, okay. Just for an example.
Whoa, holy shit. Rita's got shit to say. Listen up, motherfuckers.
I have never washed my car either. And I've had Joyce for quite a long time. And it's like, yeah, it rains, you know, maybe you'll hose it off, but no, you don't like wash your car. You see a nice big
fresh puddle after a rainstorm, you just drive through it really fast.
Right? That'll douche up the underside. Yeah, okay. I was in Texas for a week. Alan ran his truck through the car wash twice in 1 week.
Oh, yeah, that's not unusual.
It's crazy to me. It's crazy.
See, I don't know. Like, everybody on my street, and when I was still living at my parents' house, I was still washing my car once a week. And my dad washes his car once a week and washes my mom's car once a week. And like the neighbors down the street, as far as you can see, are almost always washing their car about once a week, once every other week.
Wow.
Well, I got a thing at the car wash for unlimited washes, so I just drive it
and to be fair, then when you get like to the like the hardcore rednecks who are taking their cars out to the swamp and doing mud runs and all that, those guys are definitely like they're definitely at least like hosing them off. I mean, that makes sense. That's kind of like Alan cleaning his guns when it's going to impair function. Like at that point in time, when you've got like literally like an inch of sod underneath your undercarriage, it's a good idea to get that off before it dries on and turns into concrete.
Wait, let me ask this. Alan, before you picked me up at the airport, did you wash your truck?
Yes.
Oh my God. So that's like three times in 1 week.
Yeah.
That's
okay, Alan.
Jay,
crazy.
Did you vacuum it?
Yes.
Oh my God!
You should be impressed.
What?
I almost always vacuum it though.
I think you're crazy.
Okay, it's not that big a deal though, because the car wash has the vacuum things, and it's you just pull in and zoop zoop, and you're done.
Do you sing the car wash song?
No. Well, yeah, sometimes.
I knew it. I always do.
Work your fingers to the bone at the car wash.
Whoa, whoa, oh, my whoa, God. Whoa.
That's got to go to the bumper.
Washing the car is not even a thing I think about. It's not a thing.
Well, Rita, you would have to actually climb on top of it to reach parts of it.
This is true.
And actually, Rita, I got to share this with you. You have a car the size of your
block.
You'll appreciate this. My neighbor washes and waxes his car. Like, he waxes his car at least once a month.
What?
And washes it all that.
How old is
it? And like, what's that?
How old is his car?
About the same age as mine, thereabouts.
So probably, it's a late model then.
Probably a few it is a late model car.
All right. So is he's it probably a he's deal? So he's wasting his time doing the wax.
And Jay, what were you saying?
It's a mom mobile.
It is a Honda Accord.
Ooh. Yeah, he's totally wasting his time doing the wax.
It's like, literally, I'm like, okay, yes. If you had like a 72 Mustang Mach 1.
Yeah.
Yes. Wash and wax that fucking thing. Absolutely.
Go park it in the garage.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a garage, but yeah. Put a car cover on it. Yeah. I fully understand that. But when you're clay barring.
An Accord. Just,
A Japanese Econo box. Like, that is valuable masturbating time you are wasting.
Maybe that's how he does.
You should be using those repetitive motions somewhere else.
Wow. Wax on, wax off, is for sure.
I'll say.
Let me tell you, like I said, I used to wash my before I even had a car, I used to wash my parents' car. You know, once a week. That was just one of those things, that one of my chores to do. I had to shovel the driveway and I had to wash the cars. And I would be washing the cars and all that. And I got to say, so I've washed cars hundreds of times. And let me tell you, like, some of the worst orgasms I've ever had in my entire life are 100 times better than washing a car. So I'm just saying, maybe you shouldn't be washing that car. Maybe you should be doing something else.
Yeah, but you know what sucks more than washing a car?
What?
Having rot poke through it when it's only 7 years old. That's why I wash my car.
So here's the big thing, though, at least with Fords, kind of doesn't happen.
What?
Like,
with Dodges, it does.
What is rot?
Yeah. Rust.
Oh, like up on. Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And when it starts coming through.
Does Joyce have any rust on her, Brita?
Well, a little bit around the door.
That's a northern thing.
Oh, no, that absolutely is a northern. That's the big thing that gets me. Like, Alan, why the fuck are you washing your car that much? It's not like it, like.
There's no salt there.
There's no salt.
Well, not only that, my body's aluminum, so it won't rust anyway.
And then, yeah.
But I got to wash the bugs and the crud off of it. Huh?
Yeah.
I think it's just vanity.
It's a Ford F-150.
It's hot, Alan. They'll eventually desiccate and fall off.
Yeah, I like it clean.
It's the circle of life.
I'm with you, Al. I'm with you.
I like a clean car.
I have a little ship on. Shine it up.
It's my little piece of peace now, and quiet on the road.
Inside
and...
of my car. I will clean.
Holy crap.
It's really just a couple times a year, but I will clean the inside of the windshield and the dashboard and the steering wheel and the gauge cluster. And all that stuff. And I will, it's usually when my super fastidious neighbor is cleaning his car, I will ask to borrow his vacuum and vacuum up all the fucking Cheerios off the inside of my car. I used to not vacuum the inside of my car because it used to be, there was only grownups in there, which meant all you have to do is pull out the floor mat and smack them against the ground and then put them back in and the car's clean.
So let's get back to the original question.
Oh yes, the big thing that gets me is so I don't clean cars, I don't wrench on cars.
No.
I understand. But
yes. You asked if muscle cars.
Yes.
What was it, as fast back then as they are now whatever?
Yeah, if you had like a Gran Torino with a Cobra jet in it, or like I'm talking like I'm not saying I've driven, you know, a 65 and a half Mustang, you know, with a 302 under the
hood. Oh, that doesn't count.
I know how that works.
As fast as cars now, I'm with Alan. No, they're not. Not even close.
Right. Yeah, because
they've gotten a lot better.
Here's some numbers. All right. The Plymouth Superbird is like the quintessential muscle car. Is there anything that was more muscly in the 70s than the Superbird?
That's true. I mean, wasn't the Chevelle only reason why you could buy that was because they wanted to compete in stock divisions with that?
Yeah.
That was the one with a huge wing on it.
Yes.
Back, right?
Yes, it was. Had a 426 Hemi V8. And you know what? I got to look this up.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, it's right. I was right. It I didn't think it was over 400 horsepower, and it's not. It was 390 horsepower.
Wow.
390 horsepower for the Superbird. You know what the horsepower of the, Hellcat is?
Yeah, 707.
Yeah, 707 horsepower from the factory.
Even better, do you know what the horsepower of my fucking mom-mobile ugly-ass station wagon is?
No, I don't.
I drive a 2012 Ford Edge with the base model 3.5 liter V6, and it is like 235 horsepower.
Well, Alan,
Jay,
the Plymouth had 390 horsepower. The six cylinder Dodge Charger Challenger engine is 300. The six cylinder.
Yeah.
Man.
Today. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no, you're talking about the modern day Challenger.
The modern.
Yes. Sorry, yes.
I was thinking like the 1976 Challenger. I'm thinking like a straight six.
Now,
like, how the hell are they doing that?
These are factory cars we're talking about. Obviously there were people taking Superbirds and
right.
putting blowers on them and superchargers and nitrous and all kinds of shit that would give it more horsepower, but just from the factory.
Yeah.
But I don't think at the same time,
you could take, I don't know if you could do it to a Hellcat. Like, there's probably something you could do, but.
Well, the problem with modern cars is they're not, they don't have carburetors. So a lot of the stuff they used to do doesn't really apply.
Well, yeah, but there's new stuff now. Now you can do stuff like reflash it.
Remap the chip.
Oh yeah. They got all kinds of computerized bullshit.
I just saw someone talking the other day about like, he was saying his, Now I'm forgetting who it was. You're listening to this show right now, though. I know there's somebody in the Squirrel Report group was saying like their neighbor was trading out their Chevy Spark or some other like Econo box.
That's Tommy.
Yeah. Oh, it was Tommy. Yeah.
Chevy Avio.
Okay. Chevy Avio for a smart 4.2.
That he's going to tow a 28 foot camper with.
Yeah. but the big thing is the smart car is the biggest scam on the planet. Because
oh my God. No kidding.
It gets, what's the mileage, Jay? Do you know
like
what the
30.
Mileage?
30.
What?
It's actually pretty low.
30 miles per gallon on premium gas.
Yeah. That's the big thing is whatever. I thought it was higher than that. I thought it was up to like 60 or something like that, but it's one of those, but immediately the story goes completely out the window when you realize it's on premium gas. Like you can literally stick a USB stick into your, you know, Ford Fusion and reflash the BIOS and change the variable valve timing on it so that it'll run better off of the premium fuel. Fill it up with premium fuel and you will get within striking distance of that. And you will have a back seat and a trunk.
Weird. And more crash protection.
Weird. According to Car and Driver, the 2017 Smart 4.2, 33 miles per gallon city, 39 highway.
Shit. What? You know,
striking distance on that in a gigantic motherfucking station wagon.
The Honda Civic gets 32 city, 42 highway.
Civic
matches it in the city, kicks its ass on the highway, and has four doors and a trunk.
And you can drive across the state with that and not have your testicles.
And if you hit mirror.
If I put real gas in my truck, not E10 or any bullshit like that. If I put real gas in my truck, I get 25 miles a gallon on the highway. And it's a four door F-150, you know, full size V8 truck.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm in the low mid to low 30s on the highway in mine, and that's running off of like E10.
All right, and this week on Clack and Clank.
So Brita, what was your question?
Oh, my question.
Segue to get us away from cars into the other thing.
And Brita teased us. She sent an email. Just speaking of torturing weird.
The other thing
I have a question to ask, and I'm not going to tell you what the question is. but this is also, it's very similar to people talk about like, oh, you know, if you're married and all that, and you're having a hard time finding things, schedule sex in your life and be like, oh, I don't want to do that. Spontaneous. No. If you say tonight after work, we're having sex. Congratulations. All day today, you're having sex. It's awesome.
Wait, thank what?
Because you. You're anticipating it in your head.
Oh, the mental sex.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. What? am I talking about now?
You're good at question.
Oh, my question.
Apparently, you're talking about sex.
I'm having the mental sex. I'm sorry.
You were addressing me with your eyes, Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, weird. Do you Do you feel the heat weird?
No comment.
Okay. So anyway, so I have this rifle, right? It's a, you know, AR-15 rifle.
The squirt rifle?
My squirrel report rifle.
It is an assault. It's a military style assault rifle.
Yes. Evil black rifle. And so I was thinking the other day, like, let's say somebody busts into my house and I want to use my rifle. Is there, number one, is that a wise choice? Number two, are there home defense rounds for the evil black rifle that I could buy that, like, will not, you know, kill my neighbors? Because that would be awkward.
Depends on which neighbors, but
what? True. And yeah, that's basically my question. Like, is it a wise choice to use that sort of rifle as a home defense weapon? Let's say that's all you have.
Maybe Jay could add a little bit more to this, but surprisingly enough, it is actually one of the best choices.
Okay.
And I would say. For home defense stuff, I would go, what is it, 75 grain? What's the heavier 5.56?
You can stick with plain old 55.
55 grain is fine.
But I would actually go heavier.
I wouldn't either.
Really?
Yeah.
You want lighter because it's going faster.
Yep.
So when it hits anything like sheetrock, it just disintegrates.
Yeah.
Okay. My argument. Hold on. I actually haven't seen the terminal ballistics test. My argument would be go with the heavier one because it's going to be longer, and so therefore it's going to be more willing to fragment. Yeah. There's going to be more linear torque on that center point.
Doesn't work like that.
Okay, cool. Go ahead. So
the higher velocity of the lighter, like a 55 grain. And there are a number of companies, but I don't want to sound like a commercial, but Hornady, for example, makes a 55 grain. That's pretty good.
But yeah, no, there was,
I mean, they're all getting into it now.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. Is there's a bunch of people that have done building material penetration tests.
Yeah.
And you are far more irresponsible to your next door neighbors if you were using the ubiquitous 12 gauge loaded with double aught buckshot,
or just a 9mm.
It's true.
Handgun rounds. It's all the velocity, and when you hit a weird substrate like sheetrock, they come right apart.
As soon as that round starts losing its spin, it's just going to fall apart, and it'll probably still do a lot of like penetrating, but it'll be little itty bitty tiny pieces.
Little splinters.
Yep. Yeah. So,
I've always thought that maybe a rifle would be a bad choice because of penetration and.
Well, I wouldn't like go get a 338.
I wouldn't do it with my FAL.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Especially given the fact that I also do not have like specialized anti-personnel rounds in it. I have absolutely my go-to magazines are loaded up with military ball ammo, because
weird.
The only reason why I would reach for my FAL for social purposes is if there was Antifa people running down my street with Molotov cocktails, in which case I want to shoot somebody, and I want to shoot the person behind them.
And you can kill people with the brass.
that is true. That is true. That sucker does
launches into a different area code.
It is. It does.
We were shooting on Wally's range up in Maine, and it was launching the brass back into New Hampshire.
No, we were facing the other way. It was still going into Maine.
It was going into the Atlantic. Okay.
We were in York County, and they were landing in Cumberland County.
Yeah. So anyway, to your question, Brita, in addition to its penetration safety, I guess. I don't know what you call that. Lack of penetration. The rifle's also a great choice because it's a lot easier to control and a lot easier to point at what you're shooting at than most people shoot a rifle better than they shoot a pistol. And that's just the way it is. It's just you know, longer barrel, all that kind of stuff. It points better.
Right.
More stable. It's also, you know, you got two hands on it. It's also a bludgeon if you need to be, you know, I mean, it's not,
bayonet mount.
I need a bayonet.
the only downsides I can think of towards use it. I mean, you're also going to be having a lot more ammo. I mean, there's only a handful of handguns where you'll be able to just slap a 30 round magazine into it.
Right.
And that's just the magazine that came with your rifle. Like you could get like 75 or 100 round drum magazines, you know, if you wanted to rappel borders. But the only downsides that really come with a rifle is, compared to handgun or shotgun, which are the more you'd say traditional views on home defense, is number one, if you don't have a suppressor on that thing, you're probably going to be looking at permanent hearing damage, touching off a rifle inside your house.
Mm-hmm.
Decide what you may on that. Like, honestly speaking, I'd be perfectly fine with one of those. Like, oh yeah, no. If number one, if I pull out the rifle and I end up having to shoot that person, like, no, things were going real ugly because as a general rule, the one-legged librarian standing at the top of the stairs with a rifle in her hands and you don't shit your pants and come running out, that person's all kinds of fucked up and you really needed to put them down. And yeah, there might be some hearing damage. Oh, well. Yeah,
You're trading hearing loss for your life, basically. Yeah, I mean,
probably naked.
Awesome.
One-legged naked librarian.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I've got something for after the show.
There's a rule 34 there.
Yeah.
The other thing, and this is just pure gun geekery, but it's something to think about, is sight offset. Is with something like an AR-15. The ranges you're going to be shooting at with home defense, the round is not going to impact where either your front sight post is or the red dot is. It's going to be off by a little bit. So that doesn't make a lick of difference. If you're aiming between the dude's nipples, it's going to be a huge difference if you're trying to put one between his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll take out his throat.
Yeah. No loss.
Which will do the job.
Unless he's a zombie, and then you're screwed because you got to get a headshot.
Just little simple rules is like the, you know, if somebody's charged, you know, this little goofy things that I keep in my head because I'm a gun dork, is if someone's trying to run me over with an automobile, you go for headshots because the rounds are going to deflect down.
Yeah.
And then the same idea is if you want to put a round between somebody's eyes, aim for the top of their head. Done and done. But yes, Brita, you should use an AR-15 for your home defense gun.
Okay.
It worked really well for that dude out in, what was that, Utah? Iowa?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, it was Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma.
There's lots of people defend their houses with ARs.
It's but no, that was common. Like the good one when there was three armed dudes came into his house.
That was Oklahoma.
One of them made it as far as the driveway.
Yep. Now, if you wanted to put, you know, a short, you know, make it a short barrel rifle and put a short upper on it,
or don't suppressor. Buy a pistol and buy one of those arm braces. There's a new ruling.
Yeah, that's right. Stupid. I wouldn't trust it.
Currently building a pistol. Just saying.
What's
it going to be in?
What the BATF giveth, the BATF taketh away.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that the current mix up will be good enough to like get people to start realizing, you know what, even though this has been the law forever, it's a really stupid law.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Happen. That's me being Pollyanna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While you're dreaming it like a pony.
Because as he segues awkwardly, the Democrats wanted Comey's head on a platter.
That was horrible.
Until Trump, you know, fired him. And then they're
just to toot our own horn, we are by far, like, of all the people talking about this subject matter, we are the best people to be talking about this.
Why is that?
Because we neither liked Hillary nor Trump in the election. So therefore, it's one of those where I feel that we're very objective people when looking at this issue. We may have some political agendas and all that, but let's face it. I don't think Comey's really kind of a political animal, so to speak. I mean, there might be something in there, but I think he's kind of, at least as far as his score goes, he's kind of square with the House as far as, you know, he's helped out the Republicans. He's helped out the Democrats in his career. But I don't think that's the important issue.
The issue is you have within a span of 6 months, the same people who were calling for his head on a pike are now saying Trump should be impeached for firing him.
Yeah.
Really? Do you have any idea what any of those words mean?
No, they don't.
No, of course not.
And let me just lay it down right here is our first up. I've got to say, like, this is another one of those surreal moments where I'm sitting here listening to the news going, is Trump an idiot or can he absolutely see the Matrix?
Yeah. I'm starting to think that he sees the Matrix.
I'm kind of terrified. Is because of all people to be seeing the Matrix, I would not expect Donald Trump to be one of those people.
Right. Well, you got to remember, Trump's a smart dude. He's not stupid.
No.
And he comes from a way more cutthroat. You think, you know, there's this myth that politicians are cutthroat and, you know,
oh God, no.
Manipulative and all that
they,
kind of stuff.
They think they're cutthroat. They're a bunch of namby-pamby losers.
Right. Trump comes from a world that's like, you know, it may be a stretch, but you know, Trump's business world, they play 3D chess and the Senate plays checkers. You know, it's like, plus when you consistently do things a certain way, you get a lot of accidental, benefit that you may not have intended. Like Trump, I think Trump delights in trolling the Democrats and the press.
Yeah.
And
there's no question in my mind about that shit.
I think a lot of times he just trolls them just for the fun of it. And it turns out that in hindsight, maybe 3 weeks later, oh yeah, that was pretty smart at the time. Yeah. You know,
the big thing that I have about Comey is the big thing to get it is say what you will about, I think he absolutely was instrumental in Trump getting elected, but at the same time, he brought up on a hearing that Hillary Clinton had broken the law and he had evidence that she had broken the law, but either he was bought out by Hillary, like bought out or threatened by Hillary, or he's just the most incompetent human being on the planet, said there's no reason to bring up charges on it because we can't prove that she intentionally broke the law when it specifically states in the law that he's citing that it doesn't matter if you do this on purpose or accidental, you know, compromising national security is a hanging offense.
Well,
there was a dude that like took a selfie on a fucking submarine. He's stationed on a Los Angeles class submarine and he took a picture and I didn't even know, you know, and texted it to somebody. And I don't even know if he was particularly in front of any, I mean, more than likely, it's not like he was like up in the conning tower in front of all like the sonar arrays and all that shit that the Russians would love to get a look at. You know, he's probably like, I heard somebody say they might've just been anecdotal, but like he was, might've been in front of the diesel engine, which is like the most unimportant part of a nuclear submarine. It's there literally just in case. And yet he spent a year in the fucking brig for that. Was he intentionally giving away secrets? Was he intentionally? We don't care. We don't care. You compromised, you know, classified military stuff. Big rocks into little rocks.
Well, we don't know what he was thinking, Comey. And well, we may never know. Didn't
he say, though, that they wouldn't prosecute because they wouldn't be able to get a conviction, essentially? Right,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's what drove him to say what he did, because he knew that there was no chance in hell that they could do anything about this.
Right.
Politically.
Even if they managed to get some sort of prosecution together, nobody in their right mind is going to cross Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Well, you know, Comey, aside from the whole Hillary Clinton thing, there have been like major FBI scandals.
Oh yeah.
While he's been director of the FBI. I mean, like major ones. They knew, you know, the guy, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. They knew about him. And they closed the case on him. And then he went on to kill like 50 people in Orlando.
They lost his wife.
They lost his wife. And, you know, it's like stuff like that, like over and over. I Googled, there's an article on Gradian.com. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nadal Hassan was a bad one.
Yeah.
I'll give them the Pulse nightclub guy, just because there's that's one of those things on the
Boston Marathon. They interviewed the Boston Marathon guy, but let him go.
The Russians told them these guys were bad eggs.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I think they even had at least one of them on the no-fly list, but they misspelled his name. So it was, he might as well have not been on the no-fly list.
This was an, I Googled, I looked for lists of like FBI scandals and Comey, and it said during the Obama administration, the FBI claimed that two private jets were being used primarily for counterterrorism, when in fact they were mostly being used for Eric Holder and Robert Mueller's business and personal travel. So it's like, I'm hoping that Trump is seeing this kind of culture of, you know, the FBI is corrupt. And Comey's at the top of it. So maybe he's just cleaning house. I don't blame him.
Well, the only thing I would blame him on is why did he wait this long? And again, I think I have to say the exact reason is to get everybody, is to get this huge reaction. Because if he had just, you know, fired Comey when he's firing all the ambassadors and all these other Obama coat holders, which every president does. Bush did it. Clinton did it. Everybody's done it.
Sure.
You know, it's when there's a regime change, congratulations. If you are, a retainer to the crown of the Democrats or the retainer to the crown of the Republicans, and the other person comes in office, congratulations, you are officially gone. Like Vivek Murthy got fired and nobody cared because he got fired on day one, because guess what? He was a complete piece of shit. He was a Democrat coal holder. And guess what? You're not working for a Democrat anymore. So the only reason why anybody liked you is because you are a loyal Democrat. So guess what? Bye.
The thing I don't understand is, okay, this is a good example, but what's his face? Colbert, nighttime TV host. Colbert, in his stand-up routine, I guess at the beginning of the show, talked about Trump firing Comey. And initially, his audience cheered. But then he had to correct them and say, oh, no. Maxine Waters said, I don't support Trump firing Comey, but I would support Hillary firing Comey.
Oh, yeah, so, Maxine Waters is the best.
What is happening here? Like, why are Democrats and liberals like, automatically opposed to whatever Trump does, no matter what it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. These people, whatever.
As I think it was, as Bill Whittle said back when he was just a blogger on the Democrats are the reason why the sun rises in the morning and Republicans are the reason why it sets in the evening. I've got to see, like, I think it's absolutely the best in Trump's interest to create as much buzz on this whole fucking quote unquote Russian investigation, of which there is no investigation. There is no nothing to it. But the more people talk about it, because again, even under their perfect conspiracy theorist, I mean, there's, you know, you look at like some of the stuff against Bush. Some of that stuff was good on the, oh yeah, no. Bush was going for revenge against Saddam Hussein. So he cooked up all of these stories to make it go through so that he could kill the man who tried to kill his dad. Like, that's a, you know, that's a movie plot there. That's, you know, there's something to that. That works. That makes sense.
True story. That was actually the original plot line for Toy Story.
Thank you, Jay. God damn it. but for this whole, like, quote unquote Russian collusion statement is, so Donald Trump colluded with the Russians so that they would hack Hillary's email or the DNC email so they could release the truth that the Democrats never refuted, so that Trump could win the election because reasons.
Yeah.
There was a lot of missing dot connecting in
yeah. That. I mean, because it's just one of those things.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
The Democrats don't care.
Perfect sense. Like if it was the, you know, it came out with like there were these like horribly Photoshopped, you know, pictures of Hillary and Uma like going nuts on each other, or, you know, Hillary was a Satan, you know, Satan worshiping clone from Zeta Reticuli.
That's true.
You know, that is true.
Or the Republicans were getting bums to vote by giving them cigarettes and alcohol.
Right.
Oh, wait. Wasn't a Republican.
Oh, wait. Yes. Yeah. But it was one of those. But everything that came, like whoever hacked these emails, which, by the way, I mean, yes, it was the Russians. Yes, it was everybody else, because there was absolutely no security on this shit. Like, I mean, it's not even the question is, it's not even the hackers even told us how they got in. Like, the only thing the hackers haven't said is what their name and address is. But everything the hackers said was true. And the Democrats have said everything the hackers have said is true. There's nobody refuting that any of this shit is true. Like, Hillary never once said, no, I didn't have a private server in my fucking downstairs bathroom that was managing my emails. No, I absolutely used my, you know, Hillary Clinton at US.gov. email address. No, she's never said that. She's absolutely said, no, I thought it was okay to, you know, she's made up some bullshit about the, I thought it was okay, or that seemed reasonable, or Condoleezza Rice did it, or whatever the fuck you've got. But she's never said that any of this shit that was accused of her was not true. So how is this disrupting the election? Is people found out the truth and that disrupts the election?
Yes.
They exactly. Committed acts of journalism. The horror. Yeah. The horror. Yeah,
exactly.
Which brings us to the other topic I wanted to talk about.
Ooh, well played, Alan.
You've got 6 minutes.
No, I got longer than that. It's we're at 49 minutes on the recording.
Oh, okay.
But Brita's going to rage quit at 6.
You know, no. And I've been thinking about this more and more. You know, there's a famous quote from Mark Twain, and I'm pretty sure he stole it from someone else, that said, basically, if you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed. If you do read the newspapers, you're misinformed. And, Jay and I were talking about this right before the show started. And I can't remember if it was him or me that made this point, but it was really good.
And it was Alan.
It was probably Jay. That, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, because if you go back to like the old, you know, like the turn of the century, the yellow journalism and stuff like that, journalism was always politicized. I mean, look at the newspapers that still exist, the Democrat, the, you know, these papers were blatantly partisan. There was no pretense at objectivity. They were just partisan as hell. And they supported their guys and screw, you know, the other guy was a rotten piece of junk. And so, you know, maybe the 50s or so, they started putting on this pretense of, you know, impartial, you know, oh, we're objective.
Which, by the way, first I would say, like, a lot of these papers, like, I mean, there's still a few like papers remaining that are like the Hill County Democrat.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. It's in their name.
The whole idea you're talking about, the bringing up the fairness doctrine, and I got to say, that is like the shiftiest fucking thing on earth, because what you're doing is now you're making someone be quote unquote objective under duress.
Right. Which is impossible.
And I would absolutely say, like, I don't have no use for quote unquote objective journalism. I have every bit of use for partisan journalism. I read all the pro-gun shit. I read all the anti-gun shit. I read all the hardcore Republican shit. I read all the hardcore Democrat shit. Because guess what? You can zero those values, because those are known integers.
Well,
but
yes.
Someone that's trying to play in the middle, you do not know where they're giving you the straight dope and when they're giving you horse shit.
Well, it's all horse shit.
That's because
anybody that says they're objective is a liar. It's impossible. But that brings up my real topic.
Speaking of which, earlier in the show, I said that we were objective.
Yeah, I know. Complete lie. Why do we even pay attention to the news? Who cares? Does it make a difference? No. You'd be better off watching.
It, you know, makes a huge difference, because I happen to be on a political commentary podcast. I write it off on my taxes. Silence.
I'm making a face at you. But no, I mean, think about it. It's always wrong. I mean, even if we give it the benefit of the doubt and say that it used to be just wrong and not lies, it's still wrong. Now it's all, you know, spin and propaganda and lies.
Even when it's right, the person who is either writing the story or giving the report doesn't understand the story in the least.
Right. And that's called the knowledge problem.
I mean, we got Jay here, who's a professional gun writer.
Right.
And Jay actually knows guns. You know, but when you're dealing with, you know, somebody else, you know, when you're watching the news, that person knows absolutely nothing about what the fuck they're talking about. They did enough research or got coached enough that they could not sound like a moron.
They're reading the teleprompter.
Yes.
Odds are they didn't even see the story. The when they're reading the words off the teleprompter is the first time they've heard of the story.
For the newsreaders, yes.
Yes. They don't know anything. They just read what the producer types into the teleprompter. But think, you know, it's all lies. It's all bullshit. Here's my theory. Politics is a team sport. And I know Brita's talked about this before too. It's just like the fucking Redskins versus the Patriots or whatever the team rivalries are.
And that's actually why
your team is awesome. The other team is a bunch of rotten jerks who deserve to lose and are awful people. And that's what politics and the news are right now. That's probably what they've always been, but it's team. It's the human. It's a combination of human tribalism and entertainment. It's the same reason we watch football on Sunday and basketball and all these other sports. It's entertainment and titillation and watching the other guy get screwed. And when your guy loses, it's, oh man, he was screwed over. They cheated. Ah, it's awful. And when your guy wins, oh yeah, those losers. Yeah. And that's all it is.
And don't think that the political class doesn't know that.
Oh, of course they know it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wait, look at Hillary again. The natural reaction would be for a person is to say, I mean, we joked about like very depth in the vicious circle on the, you know, I found these drugs in your pants. Well, they're not my pants.
Oh yeah. Some dude.
Yeah. It was my cousin Mookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a true guilty mind who knows that the fix is not in. The cop just found a fucking dime bag of weed in your pocket. You are going to go to jail tonight unless you can completely fudge this. And so the natural instinct is to just tell a lie. Tell the biggest motherfucking lie on the planet. It doesn't matter. So long as you tell some lie, that's a better chance than telling the truth, which is why, yes, that's my weed. I didn't get a chance to smoke all of it before you searched me, officer. But yet, meanwhile, Hillary Clinton goes, absolutely, there was an illegal mail server in my basement. And by me admitting this, I am admitting to a federal felony that people very recently have done jail, have done prison time for.
Yep.
I mean,
she knew she wasn't in any danger.
Yeah. The fix absolutely was in. The question is, you know, is Comey just too stupid to get out of his own way? Is Comey a partisan hack who's not going to besmirch, you know, a sainted Democrat? Or is Comey, you know, or you know, is there pictures of Comey with a live boy or a dead girl somewhere out there?
I think he was just a guy that was kind of in over his head trying to figure out how to keep his job.
It's always a possibility. But yeah, yeah. Carry on. Media, they make shit up.
Well, yeah, but but there's this myth of, oh, we need to stay informed. Well, you're not.
Yeah, because you're not informed.
You're not informed at all.
I would argue again. Going
you've been propagandized.
If you can have the most biased mother, like, so again, this is like the deepest motherfucking caveat on the planet. If you could have an objective mind, so therefore you're not rah-rah sis boom buying, you hate the Republicans just as much as you hate the Democrats, or at least you've got, you know, some disdain for them, you know, both sides, and some distrust on both sides. And you have an analytical mind, so therefore I've just eliminated like at least 70% of the population.
99.
You're probably closer to that. I was being generous. Thank you, Alan. You go and insult our listeners.
Bunch of deplorables.
Our listeners are the 1%.
That is true. That's right. You're literally the smartest person on earth. You can cut someone off in traffic now.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, you fucking earned it. But if you've got an objective mind and you're willing to accept that both sides are playing a game and no politician, even my most favoritist politicians on the planet, the peoples that I root for in the primary that get eliminated in the first round, you know, even those people are playing a game and are in it for themselves and will fuck you over at the drop of a hat. If you've got an analytical mind, then listening to Fox News and then MSNBC exclusively, you will get some pretty decent, you know, you will get informed.
Yeah, you'll just get your confirmation biases and you're reinforced.
Well, again, I was caveating that you did not have a confirmation bias.
Everybody has it though.
Everyone does.
You can't get rid of it.
You are correct. You are correct. But I'm just saying that if being informed is a reason, then you will, because it's not like these people are writing it are geniuses.
No,
like not. even if you've got a slight confirmation bias. If you've got a heavy confirmation bias, there's no fucking hope for you. Don't bother. But even if you've got a slight confirmation bias, there are certain things that immediately scream, all right, that's bullshit. Like when you get two conflicting stories, hey, guess what? Occam's razor's real.
They're both lies.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem of being informed is there is such a glut of information that people don't know what to look at. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I think that might be part of the reason why a lot of people ignore the news is because it is so overwhelming. If you're not one of those people who, you know, checks in with the news every day and kind of keeps up with the news ticker, and you have to admit now with the internet, the news is minute by minute. You could just follow, you know, click, 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 and you follow and updates. And it's like so much information.
There's an information version of the monkey sphere too, that like, yeah, literally like I hear a story about Syria. I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. Keep as many Americans away from that fucking place as possible. And I'm happy.
And keep as many of those
are they nerve gassing themselves? You know, is it the government doing it? Is it ISIS that's doing it? Is it the Russians? Is it whatever? I don't care.
Right.
I don't.
A lot of people don't care, and I think because of, you know, the accessibility. Not only the glut of information that we have, but like the accessibility of information, because we can get information from literally everywhere in the world, that you get overwhelmed. You're like, why the fuck should I care? I don't care what's happening in Turkmenistan. You know, who cares? And it just becomes so much.
And there's also a little bit of like a jaded nature to it. Is
what'd I do?
What?
Jaded.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jaded.
Jay, go lay down. Get back into the porch before the neighbors see you. I'm always saying, like, I've kind of become like such kind of almost a ridiculous dove, even my own eyes, on the, I'm almost like, why do we even bother going up against the Nazis? Oh, but the Nazis are the worst thing ever. Oh, did you really want all those people to die in the concentration camps and all that? But then when you suddenly face it on the, all right, after we won World War II and our boys went home, Stalin, our ally, went and put, what, three times as many people into concentration camps and killed them all?
Right.
And that's, the liberation of, you know, of Dachau and Auschwitz is taught in every social studies class in the country. But the Stalinist purges are, you know, maybe a footnote if they're taught at all.
They're not.
Mm-hmm. Pol Pot.
Oh, God. I mean, Maine, for whatever reason, the only minorities we have in Maine are refugees. You know, the black people in Maine are all Somali. And when I was a kid, we had a bunch of Asian kids in our, mm-hmm. you know, in our school. They were all Cambodian.
Right.
I mean, so because of that, I knew about the killing fields. But other than that, I wouldn't have known about it at all. For the fact that, these kids who are my friends and I'm hanging out with and all that, the only reason why they are here is because their parents went through motherfucking hell to get the fuck out of Southeast Asia so they could come to a place where they could safely have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no one's going to talk about Pol Pot. And I mean, how many people did get killed there?
Five.
They're not even talking about how great Venezuela is anymore.
That's kind of hard to do.
Hey, wasn't Barack Obama really? Isn't there a picture of Barack Obama having a fist bump with what's his face from Venezuela?
Chavez. But now let's play Democrat games here. But really, Venezuela was okay, especially comparatively speaking, relativistically okay, until Hugo shit the bed, and then
until Trump took over. See, it's all Trump.
Ooh, that's true. Donald Trump is causing the collapse in Venezuela,
and global warming.
And global warming.
Well, you know,
this is a good time for a segue. By the way,
into global warming.
No.
the big headline conveyance.
The big headline today on CNN, I believe this was CNN. Yes, it was CNN, was that the president gets two scoops of ice cream and everyone else gets one.
Oh, so seriously?
Wait. Let me read this. So somebody, I don't know where this is from, but somebody has reported about dining with Trump. And apparently, you know, waiters who deal with Trump know his personal preferences, and he likes Diet Coke, and the rest of the people are served water with the salad course.
Time magazine got a scoop.
Hello.
Good God. Sorry about that.
With the salad course, Trump is given Thousand Island dressing. Everybody else gets the vinaigrette. And when the dessert comes, he gets two scoops of vanilla ice cream with his chocolate cream pie instead of the single scoop that everyone else gets. This is the news today from CNN.
I am reading it right now. And yes, that is today's date.
And what the fuck?
So first off, why aren't the people ordering their own fucking dressing?
Well, there is that. But if you were president, this is my question. If you were president, how many scoops of ice cream would you get? I would, you know, come on. I would say, keep going.
Yeah.
Give me whatever I want. I mean, come on.
I would go on the Tam line of if I was still hungry after I finished my steak, I would have another steak.
That would be me.
I don't have much of a sweet tooth, so I don't give a flying fuck about ice cream and pie.
I would be like, get me one of those giant beef ribs, and if I'm still hungry, I'll have another one.
So Brita's presidential excess.
President.
But here's another.
Brita's presidential excess would be having Air Force One fly her a giant rib from Black's Barbecue every day.
Yes.
No, it would be creating a franchise of Black's Barbecue in D.C.
Right.
Oh my God.
Blacks would thank you so much because they'd kick ass there.
I have to tell you the story. Okay. So I have this library patron who he used to live in New York City, and he's like a music guy, and he moved back home to Ohio for whatever reason, but he's really into food. Like, he's a serious foodie. Okay. And so before I went to Texas, I was talking to him. He comes in every day, and I was talking to him, and he said, "Where are you going on vacation?" I said, "I'm going to Texas." I said, "And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to Texas. You know, not only am I going to see my friend, but, and his cats, but there is this rib that I have to get." And he's like, "What are you talking about, this rib?" And I showed him pictures of it. And he was so excited about this rib. And, you know, I came home from Texas. And the first thing he asked me the first time I saw him after I came home, he was like, "Did you get it? How was the rib?" I was like, and I said to him, I said, "I really don't have words for how good it was." And so it has turned into this thing now where he comes in and every day he talks to me about the rib. And so I looked up. Blacks is online. You can actually order. You can order barbecue from Blacks, and they will ship it to your house. And so I looked up the rib on Blacks, and you get, I think, like three ribs, and the cost is like $60 for these ribs.
Wow. That's pretty reasonable, actually.
But no. That's not including shipping.
Oh, that's not
reasonable. So with shipping, it's just under $100. Okay. So my patron friend and I, we've been discussing this rib, and now he wants to treat us to ribs. Like, he's like, we're going to order the rib and we're going to eat it and it's going to be my treat. I'm like, okay. You know, but today he says to me, this, it's kind of like a little crazy. He came up to me today. He's like, have you ever watched Seinfeld? I said, yeah. And he says, you know that episode where Kramer coats himself in butter? And nobody else has watched Seinfeld, I can tell.
I have watched Seinfeld.
I've watched it.
Okay, so everybody's Kramer here has watched coats Seinfeld, himself in butter. And Newman, every time he sees Kramer, he looks at Kramer and he sees like a giant turkey roasting. You know, like the old cartoon thing, yes. Like if somebody's hungry and wait,
Brita, first the question is,
yeah,
I think we've all watched Seinfeld. The question is, have you watched Seinfeld on peyote?
I have not.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Sure that this is not Brita likes to trip balls and watch Seinfeld.
No.
Okay.
But the patron says, he's like, you know that episode where Kramer coats himself with butter and Newman, every time he looks at Kramer, he sees like a turkey. And I said, okay. And he goes, every time I look at you, I see that rib. I'm like, okay. Wow. So I think the rib is going to happen.
Or he's going to eat you.
He's like obsessed. Every time I talk to him now, he's obsessed with this rib, Alan. So I think I'm going to be getting a rib some point in the future. From Blacks. I don't know. They smoke the rib and then they vacuum pack it and then they seal it up and chill it and they ship it to you. So
and I guess you just pop it in the microwave and it's good as new.
I think you heat it in the oven. I don't know. I don't know, but you know.
I couldn't resist.
Brita, by the way, I'm watching this. This was a real show. I just missed this one.
Yeah, the Kramer and the butter. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. But I was thinking, you know, this thing with Trump and the ice cream. He's the president of the United States. If he wants 2 scoops of ice cream and Thousand Island dressing, let it happen. I mean, come on.
And let's just point out the fact that none of us here, and I think I can safely say none of you listening to this show, will ever be the president of the United States.
Mm. Hey, speak for yourself, buddy.
I'm going to speak for myself and I'm going to speak for all of you and all of you listening say what you will about Trump, say what you will about Obama, say what you will about Bush. I don't like any of them motherfuckers. And guess what? All of them got elected. I'm going to say all of them got elected for 2 terms. And yeah, I mean, that's not easy, not even remotely easy. And again, like, I think all just for the fact that all of us have been on the vicious circle has guaranteed that we will not.
Shit. That's true.
And so, yeah, it is, if he wants like, you know, 2 scoops of ice cream and a hand job with his meal. Go right ahead, buddy.
I think Bill Clinton already did that.
I'm sorry, Brita, and a consensual hand job.
Oh,
I bet it was consensual.
not Alan. Not under the 2.0 consent laws.
He was her superior.
That's right. Remember, you gotta remember, Alan, you're not a true feminist if you just think that women should be treated as human beings. Like, now to be a true feminist, you have to understand that, like, well, except for the fact that Bill Clinton was a Democrat and Democrats can't commit rape.
Right.
You know, but like if Bill Clinton was a Republican, like there's no way that anyone could consent to sex to him, including his wife.
Yeah. Oh man, that just, you just brought up a huge digression that I thought of about the Democrats and their scorekeeping and layers of victimhood.
Oh, you know? Have you seen the newest rage that Wonder Woman doesn't have hairy armpits?
No, it was Thor.
What?
Well, Thor definitely doesn't have hairy.
The latest, the very latest one is the outrage that Thor doesn't have hairy armpits.
What? Oh my God.
Forget Wonder Woman. Yeah, the Wonder Woman armpit thing was last week. Weird. We're doing Thor's armpits this week.
What about My Body by Choice?
Oh, that doesn't count.
It's never been your body or your choice. It's
always been one armpit shaved, one armpit hairy.
Brita, it's always been your body is the state's body, and the state makes the choice.
They should. Yeah. You should do like dyed mohawks.
In my armpits?
Yeah. Armpit mohawk.
Again, yeah. Remember, it's your body, your choice, but you should kill your baby.
Oh, look, it's 16 minutes over an hour.
Woohoo!
Great. Best show.
We did it!
Yeah.
And break.
Yeah. Not bad.
My bladder says it's time to go.
Yeah, yeah, it's intermission time.
We'll be back next week.
I think we're all going to take a raging piss.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, good night, Internet.
And now you're thinking of that. Bye.
Bye.